الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: إلا الذين تابوا وآمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فأولئك يبدل الله سيئاتهم حسنات وكان الله غفورا رحيما. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. الحمد لله by Allah's fazl, very very positive feedback we are getting, and many of our friends, ladies, girls, all across the spectrum are making tawbah from photography, from photos, etc., and very very positive. And what our past was, Allah Ta'ala says, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا, those who make tawbah. And mashallah, many have made tawbah. And وَآمَنُوا, we bring iman. وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, we do righteous deeds. Allah for such people says, فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتِ. These are those people that all the wrong they had done, Allah changes it into good deeds. And all whatever photos they were taking, keeping files, albums, etc., exchanging photos, putting on the on YouTube, but they have made tawbah. And many have made, alhamdulillah, very positive feedback from around various parts of the world also. And all that now, Allah is changing it into good deeds. So Allah Ta'ala accept from everyone, and Allah make the reality to come into our lives. And also, as we had explained, at this time it is such a pandemic, this photos, that it is almost impossible to save oneself. No matter how hard a person tries, some way or the other, to take photos is also haram, to look at photos also. And looking at, we all get involved some way or the other. And it is a big haram also. But alhamdulillah, there are ways that we can minimize it as much as possible. Minimize it, and whatever little we do make errors, our eyes do fall, we've got no niyat, we don't take any enjoyment in looking at the photos, whether it is of man or of woman, just to look at a photo, even of a man, is not permissible for man. And for woman, at a woman, it's also not permissible. Then Allah has kept the great door of tawbah open for us. And that also, well, we all must be aware, this has come out quite a while ago also, that the astronomers have seen that the planet Mars, the sun rises, has risen from the west on it. When the sun rises on the east, it has risen to the way of the west of it. And it is, according to them, Quran, Hadith, Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam told us 1400 years, more than 1400 years ago, that the time will come, and this will be the first major sign of Qiyamah, when the sun will rise for the west. The scientists also say that sometime it will happen that for the earth also, for one day, the sun will rise from the west. And then it will return to its normal, again, system. But when it does rise from the west, from that time, the doors of tawbah will be closed. A person who makes tawbah before that, very fortunate. And we don't know when it's going to happen, but we are moving in that direction. And tawbah just does not just mean we hit our fingers on our cheeks and we say tawbah, tawbah, but really it means changing our lives. Even if we don't say the word tawbah, but we change and correct our lives, that is, so it's very important when the world is going more towards sin, so much so to kufr. And somebody said, more serious than kufr, that kufr is not regarded as a sin also. And people are proud to say that they are out of the fold of Islam. They got nothing, na'uzu billah, to do with Islam. So what a terrible time we are living in. So at such a time that we should make more tawbah and turn more to Allah Ta'ala. So we just asked Brother Shaheen here, he explained to us, mashallah, he also, all his wedding albums, fair, all that, they put it to the fire, and besides that, working on the computer, and the photos that do come up, there are ways, and many of us work on the computer. A lot of our work is on the computer, internet, but there is a way to overcome it. And one brother from Sri Lanka wrote, and mashallah, he also devised the way. So inshallah, Brother Shane will just explain to us. And together with that also about banking. The banking, another terrible sin that we people are all generally involved in. Somewhere or the other on the line, we are all involved in banking also. Just like bank notes, bank coins. We can't avoid it. Everyone has got it. Our ID card, if we don't want to drive a car, we won't have a license, no problem. But the ID card, so how to overcome this? We are all sitting with ID cards. We count money. We handle money. For that, tawbah istighfar as much as possible. Hadhrat Ji Maulana Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, when he should count money, he should take particular care that the picture must not be seen. And on a postage stamp also, where there was a picture of a person, he took particular care. He was very, very careful about it, avoided it as much as possible. And then after all, Allah has kept the door of Tawbah open for us. So we should be conscious. And that is also what one, may quite a few of our friends have written, their positive feedback, that we never regarded it as a sin, looking at photos. And the others, that we, the gravity of the sin was not within us. Now they say our eyes have been opened and we realize the gravity and the seriousness and the effect of it on all our deeni life. Many times we wonder, I just don't enjoy my namaz, I don't enjoy my zikr, I don't have that passion for deen. It is all these gunas that blacken our hearts. Then how can we have the love of deen? So inshallah, I say.
Firstly, we must make shukr for Hazrat stressing on about 9 weeks now on this matter of photography. It's not a trivial matter. You know, I said to Hazrat, after a few weeks, Hazrat kept on speaking about the sin, and he mentioned that three sins Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive. One is if you kill a Nabi or you've been killed by a Nabi in this picture making. Now, that in itself, for me, when I thought about it, I said to myself, the gravity of the sin is like equated to that level. And right under our noses, every day we go onto the internet, we got to do some research, we got to do banking, we got to buy a ticket, etc. But all these pictures come up, whether it's an ad, whether it's a picture of a woman, picture of a man, etc. All these adverts come up all the time. So I thought about it myself and I said, there must be a way we should try and find a solution for this thing. And just as the sin, I mean, like Hazrat said, we are immune to it. It doesn't affect us anymore. So what I did is I did some research on the internet and I did find a solution. So for example, if you go onto the computer and if you're using a browser like Chrome or Microsoft Edge or Firefox, etc., there's a setting that one can set on there and say, switch off the images. And then you can also download a adware blocker that will block all the ads as well. So alhamdulillah, when you come, initially I found it was about 90%, but now I'm sort of getting to a level where it's almost like 100%, where all these pictures are switched off. So if you're going to it, and then you can create a little toggle switch on the browser with a bookmark that will say, if I am going to a dini site like our Khanka site or the Darulum site, then switch on the pictures, because now you want to see a kitab, you want to see a book, etc., a PDF file. But if you're going to a banking site or something like that, you can switch off the pictures. And it can help us. You know, I mean, these pictures are in our house. And we have the belief that if these pictures, animate objects are in our house, angels will not come in our house. So we have to start thinking about it in that way, that the reality of this comes in our life. It's not a trivial matter. So that's the solution that I found for example, on the computer. Then on the cell phone, it's slightly more difficult because the browsers there don't allow you to actually switch off the images. There is one browser called Firefox where you can download it and you can set up a setting on there where you can switch off the images. So, for example, on your phone, you can then say, for anything that I want to use with pictures like the Khanka website, the Darulum website, I will use Chrome. Anything that I want to do anything else, I will use Firefox because the pictures are switched off there. Right? And I think that's what we need to start thinking about by bringing these solutions so that we become more aware. What I also found, the other benefit I found, is that now that you're more conscious, that when you say, I want to go there, you're actually limiting your time. So on my phone, for example, it tells me on a weekly basis, it gives me a report of how much time I use on the internet. And what I found is another benefit I got is that my time on the internet has dropped as well substantially. So that is also, you find that we're just trolling on the internet, trying to find things, but we're actually wasting our time. So Allah Pak give us the tawfiq that, you know, what Hazrat is speaking about, with proof, without dots, with dots, doesn't really matter how it is. Hazrat has given us the direction. We have made niyyah to become murids of Hazrat, and we must accept it, and it must settle in our heart. Our heart must be settled, and we must accept this matter, and we need to go forward and look forward and actually practice on what our Hazrat is telling us. The other thing that Hazrat asked me to speak about is this whole issue on banking. So I work in an IT field, and from time to time we work with different companies where they'll come, like they'll say, okay, we want to sell airtime, or we want to sell a banking product, etc., design the system for us. So just like how this building is designed, you need an architect to design the building, and then you build it, etc. It's a similar process in the IT field as well. So there was a meeting being held at one of the banks where they were looking at introducing some new products to the bank. So this item of Sharia banking wasn't on the agenda. And during the meeting, this thing just popped out in the meeting as an agenda item to say that we want to introduce Sharia banking. I had to think very quickly, and shukar Allah Pak, you know, I decided not to say anything. Because usually you need to interact, you need to give your views, you need to give some solutions, etc. I made a firm decision, I'm not going to say anything. Let me just hear what the thought process is around Sharia banking. And then we can all make up our minds. So the meeting went on this basis. So the person introduced, he said, look, we want to implement Sharia banking. So the question was, what is Sharia banking? Because I was the only Muslim in the meeting, the others were all non-Muslim people in the meeting. So the answer that was given by this person, who is the product owner, he said, it's a banking model that we implement based on religion, mainly for the Muslim people. So then the next question was, how do we implement Sharia banking? So the answer that was given was, traditional banking works on interest, this works on profit share. So what is the difference? There's really no difference between the two. Right? I mean, he just said, like, you know, what we say interest, we call profit share on this side. Right? And if you look at it from a software perspective, when you build a software, the calculations and all are the same, exactly the same. There's no difference behind it. How you calculate 5% profit share and how you're going to calculate 5% interest is going to work exactly the same way from a software perspective. The other thing what they do is they just create all your accounts in a separate sections of the system. Let's say these are all Sharia products. Then what they'll do is on Eid day they'll send you an Eid Mubarak. Your card will say Islamic banking, right? If you look at Nad Ashura and it's not their fault, it's our own fault. On Ashura they sent a message out to say, you know, for your child, Ashura is a day of spending. Open up a banking account for your child. I mean, that's what we've degraded Ashura to. So it's not their fault. They don't understand. They don't have any levels of taqwa. They don't know how to implement these things. Now, on the other side, what they do is, as they went through, there was no difference. These were the minor, subtle differences they'll have. On their day, they'll send them a Christmas card. On a Jewish day, they'll send them a Hashanah card, whatever it is. For us, they'll send us the Eid Mubarak card. Those are the subtle differences they have from a customer perspective. Then it comes to, from an investment perspective, of how they invest the funds. So the discussion went on the basis that, no, they will basically get a mufti on our side. So his words were, we'll get a mufti on our side, he'll work with us, and he'll give us the formula, and we'll implement that formula. Now ask yourself, these people are running the product. The mufti is not there on a day-to-day basis, managing how those funds are being implemented. And they can make mistakes. And if you go and look at the Mail and Guardian, 2012, there's an article that was written where there was a bank that implemented Sharia model and the whole board actually collapsed. And the beginning sentence of that article said, the two systems cannot coexist. Like I said to Hazrat, Nafs and Ruh cannot coexist. One's going to dominate. Now their whole system is based on profits. Two things. How much more money can we make and how much cost can we cut? And they will at any cost try and make sure that objective is met. Now, when you implement this board, you are actually working under them. That board, whether it's a Mufti Sahib that's sitting on that board and other ulama, etc., you are working at the direction of the bank. They will pay you a fee. At the end of the day, when the final decision that needs to be made, they'll make it according to their laws. So how can the two systems coexist in a bank? So we need to think about it, that, you know, it's people that are running these accounts. I mean, the other thing that also came out in that article is that there was a lot of wrongdoing that was found afterwards. Now, we're putting our trust in people that don't even have taqwa to actually say, you know, this is a Sharia bank compliant account. So we need to think about this very carefully as well, in terms of how we actually implement all these things. Today, I don't know, for me, I said to Hazrat the other day, we want to make everything halal around us. You know, the chocolate must be halal, the bank must be halal, the insurance must be halal, everything must be halal. But me, myself, am I halal? I need to fix myself up. And all this will disappear from our life, inshallah. So Allah give us the tawfiq to understand and be aware that, you know, don't just take things for granted. When somebody says this is a Sharia banking product or a Sharia insurance product, that it is something that is correct. Because the people that are running it from behind the scenes are actually not Muslim people. And how they're going to implement it, they can make a lot of mistakes. I'll give you another example. If you take, all the banks have got to subscribe to certain laws, right? Which is passed by the United Nations in terms of any money laundering, etc. Two banks in this country have paid fines of 40 million rand each. One has paid now 30 million rand and 15 million rand suspended of their license. Because they didn't follow the United Nations procedures. Now that is promulgated by law. If they can, for profit, break their own laws, for Sharia banking, there's no law. For them, there's no law. It's just a working understanding. So to break those laws, so we need to be very careful that we consider these things before we make decisions of just, agreeing that this is something that is Sharia and it's acceptable. Allah give us the understanding and the tawfiq, inshallah. Jazakumullah.
I'll just read from this kitab one point. This kitab, Pictures and Photography, prepared by the Madrasa, Maulana Musa Qadi, mashallah. It is available in the bookshop now. Do try and get a copy and read through it, really. Not only read, study it. And then see, inshallah. And as Bhai Shaheen explained, that what have been explained, and we accept, we are murids, etc. That is a very, very meritorious thing, that whatever our Sheikh tells us, we follow. But what I ask of all, don't just follow, but see the reasoning behind it. If that reasoning is correct, then you'll have your conviction from within yourself. Like mashallah, Bhai Shaheen, many other brothers, all those who have benefited, they've got a conviction from within themselves. Understand it, all the reasons why it is haram. Not just because we are saying it's haram, but the actual proper reasons according to Sharia why it is haram. Yeah, it's in this kitab is about Hadrat Mahmud, Sheikh Mahmud Effendi, Rahimahullah, of Turkey. We all must have heard of him. Very, very, very great, pious person. He lived over 90, and he has just passed away perhaps 2 months or a month, 6 weeks ago or so. And mashallah, what he writes. He says, he emphasized in all of his lectures that the two most important causes of degeneration in the Islamic way of life are without doubt television and co-education. He was very, very much against that. This co-education, and this co-education is not only a matter of co-education, but now we understand it is the secular, which is minus Allah and minus religion, which is atheism. So it is very, very harmful. He has always been against co-education, or man teaching woman, and vice versa. As for TV, he always opposed it and used harsh and critical language against this fitna and continuously warned Muslims about its dangers. Alhamdulillah, we had the good fortune when we were in Jamaat in Turkey to meet Sheikh Mahmud Effendi, very, very soft-natured, very, very mild person. But really, as we will see, yeah, for TV, watch harsh language he uses. and how hard it is, or how hard he is on it, so that we can understand the severity of this. Yeah, just a few of them. Those who watch TV are destroying their Jannah. The situation of a man whose house has burned down is better than the one watching TV. Your house burning down is not so serious as just watching TV. Because his stone-made house has burned down while the other person's akhirah is collapsing. If your akhirah is collapsing and your house of akhirah is burning down, which means you're in the fire of Jahannam, how much more serious? Your one house burned down here, that's not so serious. An intelligent man does not have a television at home. These are his words, how he used to speak. So far, life without TV was possible. Why is it not possible now? This was around about the 70s. I'm giving a fatwa right now that the one who watches TV does not love his deen. It is better to sit with a snake than to sit with a TV. Television is fitna vision. Another time he stated as follows, "Do I ever watch TV? No, I don't." One night, a Muslim man who consistently listened to lectures from ulama dreamt of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in the dream, the number of ulama accompanying Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very few. Very few ulama in that place were accompanying Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked his friends with him, "Why are these so few? Why are there so few ulama here in this town, in this place, so few that there were only a few with Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?" His friend pointed to Sheikh Al-Haydar Al-Afendi, the Sheikh of Sheikh Mahmud, the Sheikh of Sheikh Mahmud, in the congregation, and said to ask him. He was very, very pious also, the Sheikh of Sheikh Mahmud Afendi. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him the question, he replied, "Most of the ulama bought a TV." This means that an alim that owns a TV can't accompany the Nabi of Allah. What a stern, severe thing, that just by owning a TV, having a TV in the house, you won't be in the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, "I befriend the one that remembers me." A person who remembers Allah, Allah becomes his friend. However, you ignore this and watch TV. Instead of that, you give preference to watching TV. "Is there anyone in the world more stupid than you?" Yes, there is. Again, it's you. The one who is more stupid is you yourself. "Tell me, if Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came back today, would he have a TV in his house? Would he send his daughter to high school? Television spreads such poison that not everyone is able to see it." Very, very subtle. Everyone enjoys looking at TV. We can't understand. And nobody is watching, but the TV has to be on. It carries on also. "If television was a good, harmless thing, as some claim, would there be these disgraceful and shameful scenes? What terrible things come on the TV. Now they are mocking Deen on TV. It was reported that on TV, an imam was leading the salah, but was taking too long to make the salam. Then one among the jama'ah in the salah stood up, held the imam's ears and made him terminate the salah by forcefully making him say salam. People watching it burst into tears of laughter. The one who laughs at it and the one who made the scene become disbelievers." Mocking a deen like that. And there are a lot of things like this. Not only this one, whether even it's the radio station. What things are being said and done. And unfortunately, very few seem to make out all the kufr that is openly perpetrated on the radio station, on TVs, etc. The one who mocks deen and the one who laughs at their mocking become disbelievers. The iman and nikah will become void. Pull yourselves together. We are traveling towards Akhirah. And now with the sun going to rise in the west, doors of Tawbah, and the clear signs, سنريهم آياتنا في الآفاق وفي أنفسهم حتى يتبين لهم أنه الحق. Clear signs. Allah has warned us clearly. Don't poison your families and children. Do you and your children know how to read the Quran? You can see with what passion and what concern he's speaking. How to perform salah, as well as the conditions of salah. If you bring a TV into your house, while all these principal duties are awaiting us, do you think your children will recite Quran even if you wanted them to? Or better yet, do you think for one moment they will listen to your advice? All this, Allah make our eyes to open and let us benefit properly from all this. Unfortunately, I couldn't have this printed out, but I'll just read it out. This is not at all our way, but just read it out. This is Brother Abdul Ahad, our very good friend from Sri Lanka. He has written, and what he has written, he writes here, my Sheikh, Damat Barakatum, has been speaking on the importance of avoiding pitch photos for the past several weeks. I've been discussing the important points mentioned by me, by my Sheikh, with some friends, and they all appreciated very much that our Sheikh is speaking on this subject at a time when unfortunately most ulama are silent on the matter. I personally do not use a smartphone, but use WhatsApp on the computer and out of necessity, just as Bhai Shaheen was explaining, a matter that has been bothering me for some time is that some people have their photos as their profile pictures, and this is displayed on my screen when I contact them. It happens when you contact them. Since it's on the computer, I used to move the WhatsApp window in such a way that the part with the photo is hidden. He has that concern. He tries and hide it. On a smartphone, this would never have been possible. However, in spite of this, I used to feel awkward telling salam to such people, since generally it is not correct to make salam to a person while he's committing a sin. Person is sin, and mashallah, he's got a very, very balanced mind also. Alhamdulillah, a few days ago, I found a method to replace all profile pictures with any picture of my choice. This way, irrespective of whether a person has set a profile picture or not, and no matter what that person's profile picture is, what is displayed on my screen is the picture of my choice. And what is the picture of his choice? Which, by the way, is that of a khanqa topi. So whenever anyone's picture is supposed to come, and he's put up khanqa topi also, the khanqa topi will come. I have attached it with this email. I have now done this for all my contacts, and I feel there are two benefits in this. Bhai Shaheen also has contacted him, but his application is a bit more difficult. Bhai Shaheen explained, the one he has suggested, that is much easy. And anyone who wants to know further, contact Bhai Shaheen. If you want to know exactly how to do it, and how much we can avoid, we must. If we can't avoid fully, doesn't mean we don't avoid at all. How much we can avoid, we avoid. And Allah is in His great, great mercy, we can die and give our lives to our Allah. He has kept the door of Tawbah also open for us. So we make Tawbah. So he says that the two benefits, haram photos are not displayed on my screen. And it's not a small thing. For many people, what's it? It's nothing. The photo is a photo. What's it? Now it came. But Allah make us conscious and realize. Let our iman become awakened, and then we will realize. If the iman is not there, it won't mean anything to us. We will be looking at photos, what's it? Makes no difference, sir. I no longer know what the other person's actual profile picture is. This way, I am able to have a good opinion about them, since even if they have a haram photo, I am no longer aware of it. so much great benefit. May Allah Tabaruk Ta'ala give us this proper understanding of our deen. Then, just another very important thing also about the banking. As Shaheen had explained, there was another article which will also be very beneficial for us, inshallah. Extract of how Sharia compliant is Islamic banking. As Shaheen had explained, all is, they call interest, they just call it profits now, dividends. So a name change, as we have explained many times, doesn't change reality at all. It is still interest, it is only the name has been changed. Swani, Pretoria, you call it Pretoria, you call it Swani. The place is the same. You can change the name. So you change the name of interest into profits, into dividends, but it's still interest. That is all. So this is of how, this is from their own side, not from our side. And in that point also, we should understand that also was leaked that in their meetings, those people who follow their way of thinking, whether it is our ulama or anyone else, they call them the goyim, the filth and dirt, the sheep who are led by us. And those who follow Quran, Hadith, they are the ones that Allah honors those people. And those who follow their way of thinking. And unfortunately, vast majority of us, we feel that is an enlightened way. That is a balanced way, a responsible way, that how we should act. And they themselves say these are just sheep who just follow what we dish out to them. They know they can't think for themselves also. So to this year, to the casual observer, a spade is a spade. This is John Foster, the person, Allah make us ma'af for taking his name, and it is a BBC article. A BBC article, which is normally regarded as very authentic, that it is genuine. Whether the product is dressed up in Arabic terminology, such as mudaraba or ijara, or now what is this, takaful, which is big thing now. All these things, any such names. It looks and feels like a mortgage. It is a mortgage. And to say anything else, it's just semantics. It's just name. We're using different names. But it is that mortgage, it is that haram thing. This is what they are saying, not what we are analyzing. The potential wealth locked up in oil-rich Gulf states encouraged the conventional banks to enter Islamic finance, just to take out their money from them. That was the whole object. HSBC established the Amana Islamic Finance brand in 1998, about 24, 25 years ago. And Deutsche Bank, Citi, UBS and Barclays quickly joined the fray, all offering interest-free products for wealthy Arabs. Interest-free, but it is all interest-based. And now they changed the name, that is no more interest, but it was the same thing. However, this new generation of Islamic bankers had cut their teeth in the city and Wall Street and were used to creating sophisticated financial products. They often bumped heads with the Sharia scholars who authorized their products as Sharia compliant. There were those who they didn't agree with it. Yeah, in our country, Mufti Ibrahim Desai, Marhum, he withdrew completely. He said the two cannot, it can't exist, there's nothing like that. And he withdrew completely. However, these bankers had a way of dealing with this. As one investment banker based in Dubai, working for a major Western financial organization, explains, we create the same type of products that we do for the conventional market, the same thing. We then phone up a Sharia scholar for a fatwa, seal of approval, confirming the product is Sharia compliant. A mufti they phone up. If he doesn't give it to us, we phone up another scholar, another mufti. Offer him a sum of money for his services and ask him for a fatwa. We do this until we get Sharia compliant. That means he just it isn't compliant, but they just say, and he just has to approve it, give his signature. Then we are free to distribute the product as Islamic now. But it's no Islamic, it's only a name change. This fatwa shopping, which was carried out by some institutions, bring us back to the Sharia scholars. They're admitting themselves, they're doing fatwa shopping, and they just want their right fatwa, and they pay for it. For them, that what they pay is a small amount. As Bhaishain was explained, these banks pay the fine of 30 million, 40 million, but it's nothing to them. For what they're getting in return, that is nothing what they are spending. Even the scholars do not agree all the time, which means that in some cases, a product is deemed Sharia compliant in one market and not in another. Banking is banking. This makes it more important to be in the consensus. And so getting a favorable ruling from a leading Sharia scholar is important for product manager. To get who is accepted, a famous mufti, who everyone accepts, get his, that is a great achievement for them. This is why the top scholars can earn so much money, often six-figure sums for each ruling they give. Just to say I signed there, they're just getting, it's all just money which they are also making. The most creative scholars are the ones in the most demand. Says Tariq al-Diwani, analyst at London-based Islamic financial consultancy Zest Advisory. To date, most Islamic financiers have been looking at examples of financing in Islamic history and figuring out how to apply them to today's financial products. But banking is banking. It is the taking of a deposit and then using it to finance a purchase or business. The lender pays the depositor compensation for the opportunity cost of his money, and the person borrowing the money rents it off to the bank. That bank takes from many people small amount, give it to other people, and that's all what it's all money. Now it's just in Islamic names, and we get overtaken. That now it's all Islamic banking now, and all these Islamic terms they use. The same symbolic relationship occurs whether it is conventional banking, ethical banking, Islamic banking, or Presbyterian banking. That means for the church also, they worked out a product for them also. It is all the same banking, and for the various religions, they just bring their religious terms in there. Allah open our eyes and let us understand, inshallah. Allah give us tawfiq and let us understand and stay away from all gunas. And where we are involved, remember this very clearly what Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali said, that accept it as a guna. Don't try. He says, Tumare, what were the words of Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali? Tumare lachar ta'wilat se. Your useless explanation is not going to make a haram halal. In one other place, most probably it was Mufti Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah, it looks like his spirit and his language. People wrote to him and said that in India, at that time, whenever it was, that by and large people are not buying train fare tickets. They are traveling free of charge. Now, when people generally all are doing it, give a fatwa that now it is permissible. So he says the Maulvi left just for that. What people get involved in, and now it has become widespread, Maulvi has got no other work but now to permit it. Now it's jais. Even if there's photos, banking, all, take it as haram and make tawbah. Even if we are involved, and regard it as a very major sin. Photo taking also, banking, interest, Allah has declared war on those who are involved in interest in any way. So accept it, make tawbah. There is a great possibility you'll get tawfiq of coming out of it. If not, and you die with it, there is also a great possibility Allah will forgive you. And if not, and you have to pay for it in Jahannam, but finally you will enter Jannah. But if you regard the haram as a halal, then there is no question of coming out of Jahannam. Then you have died on kufr and you stay in Jahannam forever. So let us make tawbah. And with this school, this education, secular, As long as our children or whoever is going school, etc., take out the haram from it. It's our big, big farad. That is all the secular, the atheism, where they teach them Darwin's theory of evolution, Big Bang theory. Make sure we scrape it out of their heart. Was what the teacher tells. One good child from a good Muslim home, he came home and he spoke about that we are from monkeys. The mother said, no, she tried to explain. Say, no, my teacher told it. So that is now absolute what the teacher says. So we have to work to take that out. And we have to work to have our own. Dunya's education is 100% permissible. It's necessary also. But not secular. That is that dunya's education in which Allah is in that education. And that in any case is, does not come anywhere near dini education. Quran and Hadith. It's necessary. We need houses. Allah made it for us. We need food to eat. We need clothes to wear. We need transport. Allah made it. But that is dunya's education. May Allah give us proper understanding and move forward correctly and really worry about our children, our family, our community, mankind at large. At least minimum, we make dua regularly for everyone. And who we think they are gone offline, don't just condemn them. Make dua for them. I was just discussing with one person his problem. Then I told him, make dua. So he said, I make dua. So I asked him, when you make dua? Then he started thinking. Then he said, after Farz Namaz. I say, Farz Namaz, generally, if you are exception, is different. But it's a customary dua. Nobody really pays attention. Whereas those after Farz Namaz, duas are readily accepted. Make dua seriously. I asked him, do you make 2 minutes dua at any time in the day? Then he had no answer. So we're not making the dua is only Allah. And Allah has given us a great means of getting him to do through dua. Salatul Haja, Sadaqah, Tawbah Istighfar. Allah loves these actions. Then ask Allah. Allah will change. And how Allah changes, our minds can't work. Impossible things, Allah, just in a jiffy, in a moment, Allah opens the way. So we must make our dua for the condition, our condition first. The whole condition of the ummah, the whole of mankind, we must make dua. And all this now, there is a lot of talk that's going on. Also that all this colonization and how they destroyed our iman through that. They took our land also. They took our resources also. They took our iman also. This is nothing new. It started not here in Jannat. When Shaitan, he says that, لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ لَآمُرَنَّهُمْ. How many places in different worlds I will make sure according to him that I will take. So it's from that time. It's not something new now. And from that time Allah gave us, you turn to me. And you take my help. The shaitan said, those who are, Allah said, who are salihin will get saved. Those who are shakirin will get saved, who make shukr, who turn to righteous. So we must do straightforward. And the greatest solution for any fitna is ittiba'i sunnat. And ittiba'i sunnat, that abdu alayha bin nawajis. Hold on to it very, very firm. Atruku sunnata habibi lihaulai al-humaqa. I can't give up one sunnat. Even in the whole terminology of sunnat, it's a small sunnat. I can't give it up for the stupid people of this dunya. Nahnu qawmun a'azzana Allahu bil Islam. We are people, Allah gave us honor in Islam. وَإِن نَتْلُبُ الْعِزَّةِ فِي غَيْرِ الْإِسْلَامِ. We look for our izzat in anything else besides Islam. University degrees, all the corporate world, big, big money, all the IT the story, and whatever else, أَذَلَّنَ اللَّهُ. Allah will once model. Our izzat is only in one thing, Islam, not modern Islam, not watered down Islam, not a mild Islam, but Islam of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. We try our best. We are 100% weak. We admit to Allah. But we try and go in that direction. We falter. We try and get up and walk again in that same direction. Don't go in any other direction. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah. Subhanallah bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta.